Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, here we are on a Thursday morning. Good morning, everybody. One step closer to the weekend. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Good morning.
Busy night last night. A lot to watch, huh?
A lot of stuff going on. I mean, a lot of stuff. Like, I'm hunkered down. Yeah, I worked and pussed around all day yesterday. You know, I've been doing a lot of yard work and getting caught up now that I'm home. And I get done all my stuff. And then I sit down. I've got my computer up, because I'm watching my son's minor league baseball games. So I've got those going. I got the TV going, flipping between the Rockies. Well, the Rockies started at 5:10, so I had a couple hours of Rockies baseball with my son's baseball while then going to the NBA Finals. It's a great night. It's just a great night of hunkering down and watching TV. And I tell you what, the Warriors when Steph Curry can be non-existent, now he did play some defense, he had some hustle, he had some rebounds, but 1 from 10 from 3-point line, and doesn't matter. KD puts in 40 or whatever he did, and they end up getting the victory. It's just pretty amazing how loaded they are, how many different ways they can beat you.
Is it amazing or is it depressing or sobering? Because this only drives home the idea, the need for super teams even more. That, well, look, you know, you can have one of your best guys have a quiet night and still win a game that the opponent absolutely has to have on his floor in game 3 of the NBA Finals. This is only going to enhance the idea that, you know, you got to create these super teams.
See, here's the issue. Here's the issue that I have with the whole super team and the Warriors. Other than KD, now KD is a big-time player, one of the best players in the NBA, if not the second-best player in the NBA behind LeBron James. They signed one free agent. I mean, they're homegrown. You know, Steph Curry was their draft choice. Draymond Green was their draft choice, and he was a second-rounder. You've got Klay Thompson was a draft choice. Like, they were homegrown. He chose to go there and be there with them. And I understand they were great before they had KD, but it's not like they're getting three guys together, you know, and saying it's not like, oh, in Houston, like nobody's complaining about, you know, Houston, who's got the beard and who's got CP3 that came there from different places to join forces together. I mean, it is the NBA. It's free agency. It is what it is. And the beauty of it, if you really want to look at the beauty of it for teams like the Nuggets or teams that are out there, if you do your homework and you draft the right guys, Utah, you've got a chance. You know, I mean, look what they did with their draft. You've got a chance to build your team from the draft and build it the right way. Now, it doesn't mean they're all going to stay there all the time, but the bottom line is it gives me hope that you can actually build something in a smaller market.
Yeah, but it's still the whole idea of if you can't beat them, join them type thing that bugs me. And that rather than sticking around and trying to see it through and continue to try to build around what you've got in your old place, it's like, whoop, can't do it here. Gonna have to go somewhere else where I can join. I mean, LeBron, if he goes to Philadelphia, will be joining a homegrown nucleus.
Let me ask you this. You were a big Red Sox fan, right, growing up?
Sure.
Yeah. Were you upset that they signed Big Poppy?
They didn't sign him. They signed him. Well, they signed him after he'd been cut.
But
They signed him literally for 5 cents.
Okay, but he wasn't originally.
No, he was not.
Okay, and I'm sure there's other guys that won that first world championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was Kevin Millar an original Boston Red Sox?
Nope.
Was, you know, so I mean, this has been
going on.
But
he wasn't a superstar either.
Right. No, I understand. But this has been going on forever. And I
get it. David Ortiz wasn't even called David Ortiz when he signed with Red Sox. That wasn't his name at the time.
What was his name?
I don't remember, but it was not David Ortiz.
It wasn't?
No.
He changed his name?
He changed his name.
Big Poppy changed his name?
It wasn't David Ortiz.
Did I ever tell you my Big Poppy story?
Ah, sure, why not?
All right, so I'm like, I told my son when he was 12 years old, I go, I will never go to Yankee Stadium, to Fenway, or to Wrigley unless you're pitching in those stadiums. So I've been to games in all three. I told him 12 years old. Yankees, I've been to...
David Arias.
David Arias. Oh. Google's amazing.
That's what he was known as.
So I go to all these stadiums to watch my son. And I'm sitting, you know, in BP and everything. David Ortiz, or Arias, or Big Poppy, drags me down into the home dugout.
No kidding.
Out of the stands. Drags me down to the home dugout and sits and talks to me for 20 minutes like he's my dad. Talking to me about Daniel and talking to me about baseball. And, in that 20 minutes, I probably understood about 6 minutes worth of what he had to say because he was talking so fast. And, you know, it's the broken English that he couldn't have been more gracious. And he was just like giving me advice for my son, giving me like, hey, dude, I'm, 12 years older than you. How about I give you some advice, but no.
Well, he was your Big Poppy.
He was. He's the Big Poppy.
Yeah. Man.
And it was just a really cool experience to be down in that dugout where Ted Williams was, walking around. I mean, it was just a really cool thing.
Speaking of baseball, I don't want the Rockies to ever leave Cincinnati. Can they petition Major League Baseball to play all their games in Cincinnati? They just look so loose.
The Colorado Cincinnati Rockies.
So calm.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Hitting the baseball, playing with confidence, playing with swagger, even though, again, a so-so outing from John Gray, who still has a lot to fix, only 5 innings. 3 walks,
right?
3 runs. I mean, not horrible, but 101 pitches. I mean, it was just it wasn't smooth by any means. But the bullpen, the much maligned bullpen, came through 4 innings of scoreless relief.
Here was the good thing about John Gray. He got himself into trouble on several different occasions and did not completely implode.
Right.
That's the one thing I take away from that start. Okay, I get that it's only 5 innings. I get that you were sloppy. I get that you missed some pitches. I get that you walked 3 guys. But you didn't implode. When you had runners on the corners, you found a way to make enough pitches to get out of those situations and minimize the damage. That was a really good thing about John Gray. One thing that I found really funny, I think Nolan Arenado, his first at bat, he hits a double, and he gets on second base, and he flashes the 2 outs right sign because you saw him the base running area the other night where he thought there was 2 outs, there was 1 out, and he got doubled up. He gives the sign to the third base coach, like, 2 outs, correct? Am I right about this? Which I thought was kind of funny because it's the last guy in the world that you would expect to make a gaffe like that is Nolan Arenado. So, the Rockies feel comfortable. They're swinging the heck out of the bat. Cargo looks like cargo. I don't know. It was just fun last night. Fun to watch.
Emmanuel Sanders tells us why he believes he's poised for a big year in this new look Broncos offense. That's coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
He's a playmaker. I think he's one of those diamonds in the rough type guys. A lot of people don't know about him, but he has deceptive speed. He can get open on routes. He has good hands. He's been making plays the whole entire time at OTA. So he's going to be one of those guys where I think Bronco Nation, obviously they know about Cortland, but when the season starts, they're going to be like, who is that guy out there making those plays as well?
Uh-oh! He said Bronco Nation. Come on, Emmanuel Sanders. You got to know better.
I've done that.
People get very defensive about that.
Yeah, very touchy.
Yes.
Broncos country gets very touchy about Broncos
country.
Nation.
Everybody else is a nation. We're a country.
Yeah, I don't really. Whatever. Yeah, but... Yeah, I've done that.
You've done that before?
Oh, I've done Broncos Nation and people.
There have been times I've started to like send out a tweet that said Nation and I went, oops.
No, I mean, I've sent the tweet, tweet.
Oh, no, see, always, type the tweet, then stop. Look at it before you send it out. You don't want to make one of those mistakes on Twitter.
Yeah, you need to stop, drop, and roll when it comes to Twitter.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're in deep trouble.
Anyhow, forget about the Bronco Nation part. You know what struck me?
What's that?
Emmanuel Sanders, the person that some people like to project as being all selfish and all about him, saying nice things about the guy that was brought here to replace him, ultimately, Deshaun Hamilton.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still a fifth-round draft choice, although Emmanuel Sanders, I don't know where Emmanuel was drafted, but I think it was later.
Third round.
Yeah, but
come on. You and I were doing the draft that when they drafted Hamilton, and we said, oh, okay, they got their DT replacement in Sutton, and they got their Sanders replacement in Hamilton.
Yeah, a couple years from now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think, as a veteran player, you always look at young players, and regardless of how athletic they are, regardless of how good they were in college and all those, you know the learning curve. And you know that if you just go out and play, there's nobody that's going to take your job. So, of course, you're going to be complimentary about the guys. That, you know, you're always going to be complimentary, but you have supreme confidence in your own ability, and then nobody's going to come take your job. And Deshaun Hamilton, I mean, I don't believe Deshaun Hamilton can run, with Emmanuel, and Deshaun Hamilton will have an opportunity to be, you know, part of the mix at the slot because Emmanuel's going to be outside. So I don't think there's any real threat there. It's not like they drafted a Z receiver in the first round that plays his position and said, pressure's on, like, you know, a can't miss prospect or whatever, which, you know, a lot of those guys miss anyhow. That receiver position seems to be one that a lot of guys that come out even in the first round don't necessarily pan out quickly.
Sanders, like all the guys on the offense, trying to get on the same page with Case Keenum and this new-look offense.
I think right now we're just trying to find the formula. That's what OTAs is about. We're trying different ways how we can attack people, different ways in 2 minutes and no huddle and just to see our vision. But it's going to be hard to really find out the direction we're going to go until we put on pads, obviously, and see, you know, how the O-line can handle the run blocking and the pass blocking the whole 9 yards. So we'll see. But I think right now from a package standpoint, we're sitting pretty good.
You know, I don't know about you. I'm one that's always been completely at peace with Emmanuel Sanders and who he is and what he does. I have no doubt that if he's healthy, this guy's going to be terrifically productive. He's going to play with above average effort and intensity. And all I know is that in his first 3 years here, he had 101, 76, and 79 catches, 3,000-yard seasons. And what was it? 20 touchdowns in his first 3 years. Now, last year it dropped off. He only played in 12 games. The production was down, but the production was down all across the board for this awful offense. So when it comes to Emmanuel Sanders, is he a question mark for you, or is he one of the real solid parts of this football team that you don't worry about?
Emmanuel Sanders is a very good football player. When he's healthy and he's out there, and he's out there most of the time, and most of the time he's healthy. When he is, he's going to be productive. You know, he's a guy, I mean, he's a typical wide receiver. He wants the ball. You know, he wants to be involved. You know, I mean, like most wide receivers, and you know, I will paint them all with a broad brush, and it's not fair to all of them, but I think most of them can come away with a win, and if they only have two catches for, you know, 16 yards, they're not real happy, even though they got a victory, you know. So, but I think that's endemic of the position. I think most guys feel that way. At the end of the day, they want to win, but they want to win and they want to produce while they win. You know, they want seven catches for 112 yards and a touchdown. And if they win with two catches and 12 yards, you know, they're upset. They're upset that they're not more part of the offense. But That's typical. I just know that Emmanuel is going to play hard. He's going to beat coverage, and he's going to catch the ball.
You know, don't disrespect, although I'm getting ready basically to disrespect them.
You always do that, though. You know, you have to do that,
you
right?
You have to do that.
You always have to put a qualifier on. No disrespect intended.
Right.
And then you go about disrespecting people.
Maybe I shouldn't even just say no disrespect. Maybe I should just start with the disrespecting.
Yeah, why?
I mean, why sugarcoat it?
Yeah, no disrespect intended always means you're going to come with something that's disrespectful.
All right,
so you might as well just disrespect.
Can I get the rewind? Can I get the rewind music here?
Oh,
Broncos receivers have stunk over the last few years. I'm tired of the Jordan Taylors, the Benny Fowlers, the Cody Latimers of the world. It's time for some serious upgrade in talent out there at the pass-catching positions. And watching them in a couple of the OTAs that have been open to us, you see it. You know what? For the first time in a while, I really see the potential for them to have some dynamic pass-catching options. From DT to Emmanuel, Courtland Sutton looks like he could be a potential highlight reel type of guy.
Right.
Jake Butt. Heck, even Jeff Heirman's been out there making some plays, getting a chance to run with the one. So I feel decent. I feel good about the idea that really for the first time in a while, they've got some viable pass-catching options.
Gary Kubiak lied to us several years ago.
Remember that day? I'll never forget that day. I mean, you talk about an eye roller. I went, really?
He just flat out lied to us. And I think that we, because he's Gary Kubiak, we kind of went, wow.
Well, remind people what he said.
Well, several years ago, he said, this is the most talent, the deepest receiving core I've ever coached.
Yeah.
Now, he coached, you know, in Denver all those years as a coordinator and in San Francisco as a quarterback's coach with Jerry Rice and whoever else was running around out there. Coached in Houston with Andre Johnson and some of the guys they had, you know, a younger tight end. What was the tight end name that played here for a while? Owen Daniels, really good player. And, you know, and then he came out and said, this is the deepest, best receiving core I've ever coached. And then, you know, you roll out Benny Fowler and you roll out Jordan Taylor and you roll out Lord only knows who else.
I think that was the day after Marlon Brown had a big day.
Marlon Brown. Man. Rather have Marlon Wayans. At least he'd keep you in stitches, right? So bottom line is...
No disrespect intended.
No, plenty of disrespect intended.
Sarcasm. Sarcasm.
Yeah, no, but I'm with you. You know, you needed to upgrade that position. You need some competition at that position. And they tried, you know, with Henderson and Isaiah McKenzie. And, you know, Henderson went right on the IR and Isaiah McKenzie, you know, had grease on his hands. And, but he's going to get another opportunity. And he's, you know, solemnly swears to be better this year. And, you know, let last year pass by him and go about this thing, and they drafted a couple guys. So, yeah, I think that's a recognition that it wasn't as talented as Gary Kubiak wanted to lead us to believe.
Coming up, the Morning Brew, did the Nuggets issue a desperate call for help in what they did last night? I think they did. And wait until you hear what I compare it to, what they did last night. That's coming up in the Morning Brew next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
This ball's driven to left center field and deep's got a chance to fly. Goodbye, baseball. Two-run home run, line shot, two-run homer from Ian Desmond. And the Rockies go back in front 4-2.
AT&T Sportsnet there with the call.
By the way, how about that shot? Did you see that shot? That thing didn't get more than 8 feet off the ground. I mean, that was a bomb. I know Desmond hasn't been great at the dish, and he's gotten better. You know, he's increased his batting average. But when he hits one, man.
Well, is it time to perhaps issue an apology or two to Ian Desmond? The way that he's been... No, I mean, the way he's been hitting of late, I mean, we've seen the average come up, and he is hitting for power. He has 11 home runs, 33 RBI.
Right.
This month alone, he's hitting 429, or excuse me, no, that's not it, but his on-base average is 429, still only hitting 200. I mean, look, the guy's still below 200. He's still hitting 196. But is it almost like with Trevor Story? You know, the Major League Baseball is a swing and miss league right now. I mean, an astounding amount of strikeouts.
Unless you're Joey Votto.
But should we put less stock on batting average and more in production. And if a guy like Desmond is starting to produce at the dish, do we overlook some of those 0-for-4s and the three strikeouts?
It is the way baseball is going, but I tell you what, like Joey Votto struck out last night, and he was shocked, like incredulous. Like, I cannot, what? Like, how'd you get, because he foul tipped it, and the little cat caught it. And he was like, he was perplexed. He was shocked. Like, I don't strike out. I mean, he had a couple at bats where he gets two strikes and he chokes. He's 4 inches choked up on the bat. And he just, he is just.
Nobody chokes up anymore.
No. And he's just slapping him over to the third baseman's head. You know, it's like, oh, there's another base hit. Oh, there's another base hit. Joey Votto would look really, really good in purple.
Don't tease me.
Oh, my God.
Don't tease me. Don't get me started thinking like that.
If Joey Votto was playing first base for the Rockies.
That would be great. It
would be great.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Durant fires away. It's a three. It's good with .8 to go in the half. Oh, that was cold-blooded by Kevin Durant.
I love that announcer. Favorite guy. I mean,
can I hear that again?
Yeah.
Durant fires away. It's a three. It's good with .8 to go in the half. Oh, that was cold-blooded by Kevin Durant.
With .8 to go with that. Wait a minute. You got to plug your nose. .8 to go with the half. That was cold-blooded by Kevin Durant.
Guy sounds like he should be
the go of the half.
Guy sounds like he should be a Simpsons voice, doesn't he?
Yeah. Is that Hank Azaria? Yeah.
So
good with .8 to go of the half.
So the Warriors take care of business as we predicted they would yesterday.
Cold-blooded by Kevin Durant.
3 up in the series. No team has ever come back from 3 down, so these NBA finals are over. Did Kevin Durant clinch the finals MVP award last night?
Oh, I think he had to. I mean, it was like it was a foregone conclusion that it was going to be Steph Curry. And then Steph Curry, I mean, nothing. That guy could knock down a shot last night. I think Kevin Durant was huge. I mean, it had not been for Kevin Durant and his 40. Did he have 40 even or 40 plus?
43 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists.
What happened on the last 3 assists? 3 assists away from a triple-double? Ball hog. If Curry knocks down a couple of shots, you've got a triple-double, right? I think he probably locked it up. We'll see what happens in game 4. I suppose if Steph Curry goes off in game 4, would it be close? Would it go to Steph Curry? After that game, though, can you give it to Steph Curry?
No, because the signature win is you go on the road in a game that Cleveland absolutely has to have, and you deliver that kind of performance in LeBron's house. That is MVP worthy right there, especially on a night where Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson combine for 31 points.
That's true. I tell you what, though, as many people that hate Draymond Green, that dude is a really good basketball player.
Oh, I would love to have him on my team.
He is. I love watching him. I love the way he defends. I love the way he switches. I love, you know, the way the backdoor cuts and all he is just a basketball player, man. I really like Draymond. You know, I mean, occasionally he'll kick you in the yarbles, but. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to put up with that. I play with Bill Romanowski. Occasionally, he'll break your jaw.
Classic case of you hate him when he's with somebody else, you love him when he's yours.
Yeah.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think ever since I got that cortisone shot, that really kind of took me over the hill. You know, every now and then it has its days, but, you know, I'm able to push through that a lot better than what it was. So, you know, I still got 2-3 months to keep strengthening, keep getting it better, and be ready to go for the season.
Look, a receiver, besides his hands, he needs to have his wheels.
Right.
Better have the wheels. And the fact that Emmanuel Sanders battled that ankle last year, and he's acknowledging that it's still there, is that a real red flag for you? That, you know, once a receiver, especially, has that kind of injury, do you ever totally bounce back from it?
No, I think you bounce back from it. I think you'll be fine. You know, it's always one of those things that could flare up a little bit, but he's had some success with a cortisone shot, and, you know, you want to play in the league for a long time. You can't be afraid of the needle. So, you know, if you got to do that to keep yourself on the field, then that's what you got to do. So that makes perfect sense to me.
The needle, by the way.
Yeah.
How big is the needle?
Well, it depends on what you're shooting up. It's not that big.
Like, I had this image of it being like, you know, a needle.
No. It's like a little...
Like when you get your blood drawn?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. For some reason, I had an image of just being like a needle. Like, you know.
Now,
like,
there's some bigger ones.
We got to get that thing in there.
Like when you aspirate a knee, for instance, that needle is quite a bit bigger. But they numb you up first, so it's not, I mean, if you're afraid of needles, you're afraid of needles. It doesn't matter how big the needle is.
You're afraid of needles?
No, they don't bother me at all.
Me neither. Like, when I give blood, I'll, like, watch them put it in.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all. Never has.
It's because we're tough.
Couple of tough as a
match, right? Man. Country strong.
Right.
Next.
Ours nails.
Next on the morning.
Had motor oil for breakfast this morning.
Now Jokic's going to shoot right over Love. Coming in. Good fake. Oh, a beauty. Jokic has his 6 point. He's got 5 rebounds and 4 assists to boot.
All right. Altitude TV there. So what do you make of the Nuggets unveiling their new uniform looks on national TV during the NBA Finals?
How else are they going to get anybody to pay attention to them? I mean, right?
So what are you saying? This is like a desperate call for attention? A desperate plea for attention?
Look at me. Look at me. Yeah.
To me, there's something about, you know, when you're doing the big uniform change, the big logo change, it's such an acknowledgement of what you aren't. Like, if this was a perennial playoff team right now that was going into the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, would they be changing uniforms? To me, it's like, we can't beat them, so let's build a party deck type thing. Seriously, when I saw the uniform thing and the big attention that was given to it, I'm like, it felt like the party deck thing. You know, it's like, it has nothing to do with the product on the field or on the court, but let's draw people's attention away from the fact. And since we can't win games or we can't go to the playoffs and we're among the league's worst in attendance, let's go for the obvious cash grab that is a uniform change or a logo change.
Do you think that they will sign a premier free agent because they like the uniforms? Like, you know, kids sign in college because they want to go to Oregon because they have 100 different uniform combinations?
No.
Me neither. But I will say this. Thank goodness they got rid of that ode to UCLA garbage they've been wearing. I hated the Nuggets uniforms.
The Kiki Vandeweghe influence?
Ode to Kiki Vandeweghe.
The Powder Blues?
I want to change the uniform. Let me think. Let's get original here. Where'd I go to school? UCLA, yeah. Like me taking over the... It would be like me becoming the general manager of the Broncos and putting them in Vandal colors. Black and gold.
The other problem with the big uniform logo change now is that if you're somebody that's actually doled out good money for the old stuff now, the old stuff, you're kind of like almost...
But now it's retro.
Is it retro or are you almost kind of shamed? You know, now it's like showing up at a Bronco game with a Kyle Orton jersey. You know, it's kind of like, oh, look at you. What? Can't afford the new stuff?
Oh.
Look at you. All cute walking around in your Earl Boykins powder blue jersey. You know, I mean,
you're a jersey shamer. You're a jersey shamer.
I am?
You just jersey shamed.
Oh, I think there's a lot of
jersey shame.
I think a lot of jersey shaming goes on out there.
Well, hey, you guys, let's start a campaign. We don't want a jersey shame. Just because somebody doesn't have the new logo doesn't make them a bad fan or poor.
Wow. Straight out went there, didn't you?
Sometimes they just like the old stuff. So there you go.
But hey, listen. Can't make the playoffs? Come out with new unis.
Change your unis. If that were the case, we'd have a new uni every year.
A strategy as old as time itself. Okay, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Justin Simmons, is he more and more ready to make people forget about TJ Ward? That's next. So you're going to send out that tweet, by the way, inviting people to come on by sports column tonight?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I meant to do...
Cordially invite him.
I meant to do that. I'm going to do that right now. I cordially invite you. Okay, let me just... All right. Hold on.
Because here's what's going on tonight.
Let's do it right now. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. No. Let me give you the details so you can actually send it out. So I'll be at the Sports Common Lotto starting at 6 o'clock tonight for the Corona Fan Dream Job Auditions. Last chance to do it. Last chance to potentially land a spot here on The Fan as the talk show host. So you got to come on by armed with 3 minutes of a topic that you're passionate about. And you and I will hash it out for about 60 seconds and then go. It's your time. Right. So I'll be there tonight starting at 6.
Here's my voice to text here. Watch this. I cordially invite you to join Mike Evans at the Sports Column in Lodo 6 to whenever. Okay, wait a minute.
It is 6 to whenever.
6 to whenever. And then what are we doing? The fan.
Corona fan dream job.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. I got that's a lot for me. whenever. For the Corona Fan Dream Job Extravaganza.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Let's pack this joint.
There you go.
All right. All right.
For more information, go to 1043thefan.com. So the Broncos, the portion of their OTA that we were able to watch the other day, tell you what, defense had themselves a day. Defense was flying around. Any quarterback that was trying to make a throw over the middle of the field, not much luck. A lot of congestion, a lot of balls being deflected, picked off, coverage so tight that it was leading to a lot of errant throws, all of that. Justin Simmons right in the middle of it and saying, don't worry, folks, the no-fly zone is still very much in vogue.
Well, I mean, obviously, Akeem and TJ were huge catalysts, a part of the no-fly zone, and obviously that Super Bowl run, and, you know, going back-to-back and, you know, number one passing defense. I mean, there's no replacing someone like TJ and Akeem, but Chris, Roby, and Stu were also there, you know, a part of that run. They know what standard that is to uphold as far as a no-fly zone goes. So, obviously, there's been talks about, you know, with TJ and Lee being gone, about, you know, the no-fly zone kind of disbanding and it being gone. And, you know, I'm not here to say it's here or it's left, but I know the standard of the no-fly zone is staying, because that's we expect nothing less than that standard that they have set. So you call it what you want, you know, no-fly zone 2.0, no-fly zone, or call it something totally different. But that standard, that mindset, still stays the same.
All right, is it still there?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that the standard's still there, and Chris Harris Jr. is still there, and he'll carry on that torch. But, you know, you're going to have to, I mean, it's got to be backed by production, and we're going to have to see that production. And certainly Justin Simmons is a phenomenal athlete and a really good football player, has had some learning curve issues. But, you know, I mean, that's all young players. So he's a smart kid. He's an articulate kid. He's a really good football player. That third corner is going to be, you know, that's going to be a question mark. Roby kind of taking over that larger role. Now, Roby has played and played really well, but he hasn't been on the number one receiver very often. You know, he's been on that backup, that third receiver, that second receiver is Chris Harris, you know, always seems to go in the slot. And then Akeem was kind of out there locking down the number one guy. So, you know, there's going to be some adjustment period there. Obviously, that can be helped by a great pass rush. You can have a number one coverage team if you've got a great pass rush, but all those things have to work together. But this defense, let's make no, I mean, is it what it once was? No. Could it be a championship level defense? Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, again, you're going to have to play and you're going to have to see exactly what they have at that third cornerback position and how Bradley Roby kind of matures into his role. So we'll see.
Still a very good secondary.
Oh,
without... It is still a very good secondary. And you talk about areas of this football team, question marks. Is it safe to say that safety is maybe the strongest part of this football team? The entire football team. When you start looking at the guys that they have back there, the Darian Stewarts, the Sewer Cravens, Will Parks, Simmons.
You think
am I leaving somebody out? There's that many people back. I mean, quality players.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's D-line?
No, it can't be D-line. Not when you don't know what's going on with Adam Gotsis. Still got to see if Derek Wolfe is 100% back from that neck injury.
I mean, I put in the linebackers when I think about D-line, because
front seven then?
Yeah, well, See, I think more when I think D-line, I don't think Vaughn is linebacker. I think of him as a D-lineman more than I do a linebacker. I know that he drops occasionally, but when I think of D-line, I'm thinking about Vaughn. I'm thinking about Shane Ray, a healthy Shane Ray. I'm thinking about Shaq Barrett. I'm thinking about Derek Wolfe. I'm thinking about, you know, Chubb. Pecco. I think about that's how I think of the D-line. Like, those are interchangeable parts. So maybe it's not front seven. It's let's call it the front five. Because they run a 3-4, the three defensive linemen and whoever that rush linebacker is. Like, that to me is probably the strength of this football team. And I know Gotsis is still a question mark. I haven't heard anything lately about the direction of that case. And I guess who knows? You know, who knows what'll happen? But there's still certainly question marks there, but they solve some of those question marks with Chubb as well.
Do you still, as much as the no-fly zone was so dominant, it wasn't like they were exactly bare up front. Right. You know, there was a sense that, hey, did we see a paradigm shift with that defense? Whereas it always used to be the front seven made the secondary. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe with the Broncos, you were thinking, hey, are we watching a secondary that makes the front seven?
Right.
Do you still think that can be the model, that you can do it that way?
I think obviously it's complementary. Obviously they work in unison. They bail each other out. They extend the amount of time a quarterback has to hold the ball if you've got great coverage, so your guys can get there, and if your guys can beat one-on-ones and get in the face of guys, you don't have to cover as long. So it is totally complementary. But again, to me, you like to play 90% press man stuff. We're going to have to find out if the two corners that you have, we know Chris Harris Jr. can do it. Can the other two corners do it consistently?
All right, you are set to clear the air. It's that time.
It's sneaky.
Time flies when you're having fun. It's been a great hour. Good conversation.
Yeah.
Covered a lot of ground.
Right.
So it's that time.
Yes, it is. I am prepared.
For what?
Clear the air.
Which will be about?
Air clearing.
A lot of tech to test determine. That was a lot.
That might have been your best response ever. Air clearing.
Yes.
What does one do in clear the air? Yeah. One air cleans.
Yeah, stick around. You'll find out.
All right. Clear the air coming up next.